إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد Inasmuch as that the subject matter of this gathering over the course of this weekend is adhering to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as wide of a topic as that is, I chose to read something of benefit from the words of Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala from his book Ighathat al-Ahfan fi Masa'ir al-Shaytan, delivering the one who is trapped and ensnared in the traps of the shaitan, the lahfan, the person who is in a state of peril, and the traps of the shaitan. And it is the seventh chapter of the book, which is an al-Qur'an mutadhamminu li adwiyat al-qalb wa ilajihi min jami' amradihi. That the Qur'an contains within it, we say the Qur'an and the sunnah, as we'll come to see from the speech of Ibn Qayyim, and there's no doubt about that, that the ta'thir, that the effects of the Qur'an, that it is likewise the effects of the Sunnah in solving the problems of people, that the Qur'an contains within it the cure and the remedy for the diseases of the hearts, for all the diseases of the hearts. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Yunus. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhal nas, qad ja'atkum maw'idhatum min rabbikum wa shifa'un lima fi sudur wa hudan wa rahmatun lil mu'mineen. O mankind, indeed there has come to you an admonition from your Lord and a shifa and a cure for what is in the hearts and a guidance and a mercy for the believers. So here the Quran is described with four descriptions. It is a maw'idha, it is an admonition, it is a shifa, it is a cure, it is a guidance, and it is a rahmah. So it is a admonition for all of mankind, and it is a cure for all of mankind. It is up to them to use the choice that Allah has given them the ability to make, whether or not they benefit from that cure. But it is a cure for all of mankind, and it is a guidance for all of mankind, but it is only a mercy for the believers. It is only a mercy for the believers, meaning that they are the ones that, on account of following the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will benefit from itmam and ni'mah, from the completion of Allah's favor upon them. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala brought them into existence from nothing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided them internally with everything that they need to survive in this world. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala gave them everything externally that they need to be comfortable in this world. In order for them to truly benefit from what Allah has given them externally, they must follow the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As some of the scholars mentioned that, the entire religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was revealed for two purposes. The first purpose is to teach mankind how to use the favors that Allah gave them from the things of this world. To teach mankind how to use the favors of Allah, the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them in this world. And secondly, how to show gratitude for those favors. That's a tremendous statement. This statement is found in the book Al-Muwafaqat by Al-Imam Al-Shatibi rahimahullah ta'ala. when he explains what is called maqasid al-sharia, the goals of the sharia, meaning the hikam, the wisdoms, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the ultimate meanings, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the religion for mankind. But the entire religion is summarized by these two things. It is summarized by that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us concerning how to use His favors, how to use these blessings that He has given us, and how to show, secondly, how to show gratitude for the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the point is that the Quran and the Sunnah is a mercy for the believer. The Quran and the Sunnah is a mercy for the believer, and the only way that a person can complete the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon him and receive the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and muqtassah bil mu'mineen, that is particularly for the believers, is by following the guidance that came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so the Quran is a mercy for the believers alone. It is a mercy for the believers alone. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, وَقَدْ تَقَدَّمَ أَنَّ جِمَاعَ أَمْرَاضِ الْقَلْبِ هِيَ أَمْرَاضُ شُبُحَاتِ وَشَهَوَاتِ. He said that previously in this book, we explained, and he did in great detail, that all of the diseases and sickness of the heart go back to two things, which are what and what? The two types of sicknesses and diseases of the heart. There are two types of fitna. Two types of, huh? Ashubuhat and shahawat. Ashubuhat, doubts, and shahawat, and desires. Who knows why that is?
Doubts can be that a person either doubts that there's a hellfire or doubts that they're going to be punished, and from the desires that they transgress the bounds of the hawa.
Alhamdulillah, muhawala tayyiba. Good answer, alhamdulillah. The scholars, they mention that the function of the heart, that what the heart does, is twofold. They're connected to each other. The two functions of the heart. There are two functions of the heart, which are the ability to know and understand, and the ability to want and desire. When a person acts out of pocket, when a person and he behaves improperly, misbehaves, so on and so forth, if your child misbehaves, there's a statement people say, right, about a person who is committing crime or a person who, and he is acting incorrectly, they say either the person doesn't know or he doesn't care. Either he doesn't know or he doesn't care. Right? So the person can know and just not care. Right? The person can know and not act upon his knowledge. But this is the reality of the affair. And that the reason people act correctly or incorrectly is according to having a correct understanding or not having a correct understanding, or secondly, and he having a desire for the good to act upon that knowledge, or not having a desire to act upon that knowledge, or having weakness in their resolve to act upon that knowledge. So the function of the heart goes back to what a person knows and what a person wants. It goes back to what a person knows and what a person wants. And so, when a person deviates concerning their knowledge, this is the disease of shubuhat, of doubts. And doubts is where the truth resembles falsehood. Where the truth resembles falsehood. A person is confused. He has taken, and he has sought guidance from other than its proper source. He has sought guidance from other than its proper source. He has not taken the maslak of guidance, but rather he has taken one of two, or a combination of two approaches. And we'll see this in the statement of Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, without getting ahead of ourselves. So a person, he may look for guidance in other than his proper source, and other than the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, knowledge of guidance and other than his proper source. Or secondly, he may know, he may not care, he may know, or he may, his desires may overcome his knowledge and his awareness. That's why some of the Salaf, they mention that every sin that is committed that the source of that sin is jahl, is ignorance. As Ibn Abbas, he said, كُلُّ مَنْ عَصَى اللَّهَ فَهُوَ جَاهِلٌ. When he was asked, well, what about the person who knows better? What about the person who knows that what he is doing is wrong? How can we say that he is ignorant? Ibn Abbas, he said, كُلُّ مَنْ عَصَى اللَّهَ فَهُوَ جَاهِلٌ. Whoever disobeys Allah is ignorant. Meaning that he must not truly know. He must not truly know. If he truly knew about Allah and the greatness of Allah and the magnificence of Allah and the power of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if he truly knew about what Allah has ordered him with and how that is for his benefit to implement, and what Allah has forbidden him from and how that is for his benefit to leave off, and how doing those things will harm him, and if he truly knew the reality of the promise of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to reward those that are righteous, and the punishment of Allah, the threat of Allah rather, to punish those that are wicked, if he truly knew, then he wouldn't do what he has done. And for this reason, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions in his book Al-Hasanatu wa Sayyi'a that there is an ijma' of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een. There is a consensus of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een for this affair. It's not just a statement of one of the scholars of tafsir, that everyone who disobeys Allah, that the cause of that disobedience is ignorance. He says, but rather this is a consensus of the Sahaba, that the cause of every sin and disobedience is ignorance. Therefore, the solution to the problems of mankind is knowledge of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So a person either doesn't know entirely, he doesn't know, and that person is closer to being excused. And the person who is excused because of al-jahl, was ma'adur bil-jahl. The scholars, they mention he is a person who has given his best effort at arriving at the truth, and he still did not arrive at it. He gave a solid effort, an honest effort at trying to find the truth, and he was still in error. That person is excused for his ignorance in general. And however, the person who didn't make an effort. As you find some people, for example, you find a person will and he pursue any a means of employment, or a person will and he embark upon marriage or upon divorce or any affair that requires a religious ruling to know whether or not something is halal, whether or not something is forbidden. And he doesn't have a concern with looking at what has Allah ordered in this regard and what Allah has forbidden in this regard, but he's going to do what is what? What is easiest for him. And if he looks for some knowledge in an issue, then he's not going to look for the strength of the evidence, or she's not going to look for the strength of the evidence in a particular issue, but they're going to look at which position, if there is a valid differing of the scholars, or any type of differing of scholars in a particular issue. They don't look at any what is the strongest position, but they look at what is easiest for them. They look at what is easiest for them. Ash-Shatibi rahimahullah ta'ala, he said the person who engages in any affair in the religion without looking at whether it is halal or haram, without looking at whether it's permissible or impermissible, this person is a follower of their desires. They are following their whims and they are following their desires. The point is that either a person doesn't know, or either they don't know, or either rather they know, either they don't know, or either they know, and this knowledge has not had its authority in their heart. The Sultan of Ilm, and the authority of knowledge has not taken its proper course, has not made its proper effect within them, and so they act contrary to their knowledge. So the first is what? First is the disease of jahl or shubuhat. Anywhere the truth is ambiguous to them, the truth is confusing to them. And the second is the disease of shahawat, of desires. And so when the scholars make statements like this, and they say that, because that's a weighty statement, right? people have written volumes about psychological illnesses, the cause of mental illness, the causes, you know, sadness and grief and depression and all these different disorders that people have, and some of which are fictitious and some of which are actual disorders that people have. But they don't have anything that is like this. They don't start from that basis, from the basis of what Allah said and what the Prophet ﷺ said. They don't understand the real source of the problem, so they develop maladaptive solutions to things. They try to solve things with things that only make a person sicker and more ill. But we have the basis for the real psychology, the real study of the nafs of the person, and the heart of the person, and the illnesses of the person. It's a tremendous statement when the scholars say that all of the sicknesses of the heart, all of the sicknesses of the heart go back to shubuhat and shahawat. The brothers can come closer and make room. It's a weighty statement. Ibn Qayyim, he says elsewhere that all fitna goes back to shubuhat and shahawat. And if all of the sicknesses of the heart go back to these two things, then likewise all fitna, and he is either the fitna of shubuhat or the fitna of shahawat. Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he continues. He says, ففيه من البينات والبراهين القطعية ما يبين الحق من الباطل. He says that what is found in the text, or we find in the text, the clear, undoubted, logical proofs and evidences that distinguish for us the truth from falsehood. فتزول أمراض الشبح وشبح المفسدتي للعلم وتصوري والإدراك. And by looking at the clear evidences, the logical evidences. Logical evidences for what? For the oneness of Allah, for the belief that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a messenger of Allah, the logical evidences for the belief in the Day of Judgment, the logical evidences that are the mahasin of Islam, the beautiful aspects of Islam, and everything in Islam is beautiful, that show us that everything that Allah has ordered us with is beneficial, and everything He has forbidden us from is forbidden because it is harmful, and so on and so forth. These logical evidences, they remove from the heart of the person the doubts that a person has that destroys and ruins his ability to know and to perceive and to understand. بِحَيْثُ يَرَى الْأَشْيَاءَ عَلَى مَا هِيَ عَلَيْهِ. So by learning and understanding the text, a person will be able to understand things according to their reality. وَلَيْسَ تَحْتَ أَدِيمَ السَّمَاءِ كِتَابٌ مُتَضَمِّنُ لِلْبَرَاهِينِ وَالْآيَاتِ عَلَى الْمَطَالِبِ الْعَالِيَةِ مِنَ التَّوْحِيدِ وَإِثْبَاتِ الصِّفَاتِ وَإِثْبَاتِ الْمَعَادِ وَالنُّبُوَاتِ وَرَدِّ النِّحَلَ الْبَاطِلَ وَالْآرَاءِ الْفَاسِدَةِ مِثْلَ الْقُرْآنِ. He said, and there is not another book under the surface of the sky. There is not another book under the canopy of the sky and the surface of the earth that contains within it the logical proofs and evidences for the most important of subject matters, which is the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the affirmation of the perfect and lofty attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the affirmation of the resurrection for judgment. When nubuwat, and the affirmation of and the proof for the prophethood of the prophets and the messengers alayhim as-salatu was-salam. ورد النحل الباطلة والآراء الفاسدة. And it contains within it the evidences that refute the deviant religions and sects and the corrupt opinions of men. That is anything similar to the Qur'an. That is anything comparable to the Qur'an. There is not another book on the face of the earth that contains all of those things like the Qur'an. It's a tremendous statement. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, تدبرت القرآن فوجدت فيه الرد على جميع أصناف أهل البدعة. He said that I contemplated over the Quran and I found that the Quran itself contains within it the refutation of every deviant sect. The Quran itself contains within it the refutation of every deviant sect. The books of refutation of the Imams of the Salaf, like the refutation of Imam Ahmed for the Jahmiyyah, refutation of Ad-Darimi, these sorts of books, the books of Al-Imam Ibn Mandah, and other books of the Salaf, anywhere they refuted the deviant sects, you find قَالَ اللَّهُ قَالَ اللَّهُ قَالَ اللَّهُ قَالَ اللَّهُ قَالَ اللَّهُ قَالَ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكُ وَتَعَالَى. Allah said this, Allah said this, Allah said this, Allah said this, Allah said this. Refuting those that took one of two deviant approaches to the religion, or a combination of them. The first being the philosophical approach, where the person tries to get really deep and intellectual, and he betrays Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning his intellect. فَأَفْسَرَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ أَقْلَهُ. And so Allah destroys his mind and sets the person astray. As Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned, that this is what happened to the Christians, this is what happened to the Jews when they followed the beliefs of the philosophers, it's what happened to the Muslims when they followed the beliefs of the philosophers, that it is the way of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And man khanahu fi ni'ma sallabahu iyyaha. That whoever betrays Allah concerning any blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will strip that blessing from that person. And the person who betrays Allah with his mind and tries to use his mind to second guess the religion, instead of using his mind to contemplate and reflect upon the religion and develop his mind and nurture his mind with the Quran and the Sunnah, he tries to use his mind to disprove the Quran and the Sunnah, or to try to reinterpret the Quran and the Sunnah beyond the understanding of the early generations of Islam. This person, he betrays Allah with his intellect, and Allah will snatch his mind from him. This person, he will lose his mind. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will take away the person's ability to understand. So his mind will be plagued and troubled by shubuhat, and he will never find himself in a comfortable situation. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he continues. He said, فَإِنَّهُ كَفِيرٌ بِذَلِكَ كُلِّهِ. For verily the Quran has undertaken all of that, and has guaranteed all of that, and it has established logical evidences for the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Logical evidences and scriptural evidences for the perfect attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Logical evidences for the belief in the prophethood of the messengers alayhim as-salatu was-salam. Logical evidences for the belief in the Day of Judgment. All of this is found in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the person accepts Islam, he accepts the fundamentals of belief with conviction. With conviction. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he gives us what type of evidences? Logical evidences. Logical evidences. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, very simple to understand evidences. The person who's looking for something that is amiq, he's looking for something very deep and complicated and hard to understand, that's adorned with a bunch of beautiful eight-syllable words and so on and so forth. And he wants to have something that only he can understand and the majority of people can't understand. He wants to be from the elites and have an understanding that no one else has. Then this person will go astray. These sort of people, as Abu Sulaiman al-Khattabi rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned, as is quoted by Ibn Taymiyyah in his book Dar al-Ta'aruf, and he said, this is what caused many people to go astray. That they thought that if they restricted themselves to the apparent meanings of the text, to the simple understanding of the Quran and the Sunnah, for the simple understanding of creed, that they will be counted amongst the awam, they will be counted amongst the common folk, they will be counted amongst the regular people. You just have a simple understanding. And so they try to go into a lot of complicated theology and complicated rhetoric and so on and so forth, and it led them astray. And it led them astray. You find the person, he gives you, and before giving you the asl, he gives you al-mustathna min al-asl. Before giving you the fundamental, he gives you the exception to the rule, before giving you the rule. And so we saw these people, they had their website some years ago. Everything a student of knowledge wants to put out is something controversial. So you find a person that he studies, and he wants to show that he knows something, that he's discovered something that nobody else ever understood. So instead of explaining to the people, for example, the adrar of al-intikhabat, the evils and the harms of voting, he tries to tell you the exception to the rule. Well, we can vote sometimes. In some situations we can vote, right? And he has a gharad. He has a purpose behind that. There's something behind that. Something that's ideological, something that's touching some corrupt element of his methodology. And he tells you, the mustathna min al-asl. While the Muslims have a hard time with, many Muslims have a hard time with not imitating the disbelievers and staying far away from the disbelievers. They translate an article and say, well, you, generally you shouldn't go into churches, but you can go into churches sometimes for different reasons. Knowing that a common person isn't going to be able to distinguish between one thing and another. Well, you shouldn't dress like the kuffar, but you could put on a necktie sometimes and dress like a kafir sometimes and these sorts of things. So they give you the exception to the rule. People are always giving you shawwad al-masa'il and these strange issues to try to show that they understand something that no one else understands. Okay, well, we boycott and we refute and warn against the people of innovation. But I'm going to throw all types of shubuhat so that you don't really ever put your feet down both at the same time and stand upon this fundamental. So that you don't know where to apply it, where not to apply it. And the likes of these things, you find people, they overcomplicate the issue. And this is the source of deviation. That's a tremendous statement that is found with the great Imam of the Sunnah. Ibn Battal al-Ukbari rahimahullah ta'ala. He said that I contemplated over all of the reasons that cause people to deviate from the sunnah and the jama'ah. I contemplated upon all of the reasons. So Ibn Battal, who said at the end of his book, Al-Sharh wal-Ibana, and he that after mentioning pages and pages of the names and the sects of the innovators, he said rahimahullah ta'ala, this is just a small portion of the innovators. Otherwise, the innovators in his times were any qabail and shu'ub and umam. He said there are entire cities of innovators, entire peoples, entire nations of innovators. A person goes into a particular land, the people of Islam, from one end of the land to the other end of the land, everybody is Rafidi, or everybody is Murji, or everybody is Mu'tazili, or everybody is this e or that e. Every person is upon a nisbata other than the sunnah. They have ascribed themselves to other than the way of the salat, the sabil and mu'mineen, and other to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So think about this statement. I have contemplated upon every reason, upon all of the reasons that cause people to leave the sunnah and the jama'ah, and I found that all of that goes back to two affairs. And I found that all of that goes back to two affairs. Let me pull up his statement. I have it here. He said, "اعلموا إخواني أني فكرت في السبب الذي أخرج أقواما من السنة والجماعة وأضطرهم إلى البدعة والشناعة وفتح باب البلية على أفئدتهم وحجب نور الحق عن بصيرتهم فوجدت ذلك من وجهين." He said, "No, O my brothers, that I thought about the cause. I contemplated in detail about the cause that caused entire groups of people to leave from the sunnah and the jama'ah and force them into innovation and reprehensible beliefs and open up the gateway of calamity upon their hearts and obstructed the light of truth from their vision." And I found that that goes back to two things. That goes back to two things. أَحَدُهُمَا The first of two things. الْبَحْثُ وَالْتَنْقِيرُ وَكَثْرَةُ السُّؤَالِ وَكَثْرَةُ السُّؤَالِ عَمَّا لَا يَعْنِي وَلَا يَضُرُّ الْعَاقِلَ جَهْلُ وَلَا يَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنَ فَهْمُهُ He said the first is people investigating and digging deep and asking too many questions about that which has no benefit. About that which has no benefit. We see this at a lesser level. Some people, they were upon Salafiyya, they involved themselves into politics, and it caused them to leave Salafiyya. Some people were upon Salafiyya, and they delved into